happen. Right now it feels 50-50. Let's say it is. The Eagles are the team right now that are kind of calling around, trying to see if they can find enough teams to make sure that this does not get banned. They don't want to see it happen. They'd essentially need to find 8 teams because it takes 24 teams to vote on something to get it banned. If the Eagles can find 8 teams to say that we're going to keep it, ultimately the tush push will stay in effect.
Jeff Darlington, they get to be one of the 8, I would think. Philadelphia.
Sure.
They get to vote.
They should have a vote, yep.
So now I'm down to 7. But still, it's like that likely that the vote to ban will pass.
They're already, accounted for. I think what he's counting there is they need 8 more on top of what they've already got.
It takes 24 to ban it.
I think they've got 16 already, and I would assume the Eagles are one of them. So they need 8
to
more.
Ban it.
Oh, to ban it. Okay, right. Okay, I'm sorry. Yes.
To save it,
right.
There need to be 9. Okay, it is 8 more. Because it would have, if 24 to 8, it's banned. 23 to 9, it lives.
Right. So they're just trying to find someone within that group that's for banning it right now to come over to their side.
That's what they've got to do.
Because they're already on that side.
They need a political operative.
I wonder if the Bills are complete. Like McDermott speaking about, like he's one of the faces and names of this idea, I think, even though it wasn't their proposal, but his position on the competition committee put him in a spot where he was talking about it, and he certainly seemed in favor of banning it. I wonder if Brandon Bean agrees. Like, I would assume if McDermott is talking like he's talked about it, that the Bills would be on the side of wanting to ban it, but I don't know it. I don't know that I've ever heard Bean even asked about it.
Oh, I bet he would take the question.
I bet he would, too.
I don't know. I'd like to know. I don't know that answer either. I like it. TJ is with us. Hello, TJ.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, I'm not a fan of banning it. I'm not a fan of more rules. I think you guys make a good point when you're talking about, you know, having the Gene Steratore on the call and what's going on with all that. For me, it compares it to when they added the trapezoid in hockey for the goalie. Just because you got a good team or a good player that could do a skill well doesn't mean you should get rid of it. I don't know if that's a good comparison or not, but that's kind of how I think about it in my head.
Okay. I guess I have not thought about that rule in forever. I don't miss. Do I? Miss goalies playing the puck in the corner? Do we want that back? Does it work? Did the rule work? It's not one, though, that officials really – it never comes up. Like, almost never do you see it even be close, a goalie – on the edges.
Right.
It's never a penalty.
Right. A time or two a year, a guy might come out there. I'm thinking in a Sabres game. I don't know, like every team. I'm not watching every minute of every game, obviously, but where it's awkward and you get sort of tight. Like, oh, I thought it was going to get here and it didn't, and now I'm out here. Goalies going in the corner to play the puck is how we grew up with it. Like, if the tush push had been something and players being allowed to push any ball carrier anywhere on the field, like is happening now, if that had been how we grew up watching it, then I think you'd have an easier time convincing at least someone my age that it's okay. Because it's just how it's always been. That doesn't look like football argument would go out the window because it obviously would look like football. That's what we're conditioned to. Minimizing how far the goalie can stray from the net and touch the puck, it didn't really change. You know, it did not look like hockey when they were doing it, and it seems fine with it the way it is. So I don't know. I'm not crazy about the comparison, I guess. I appreciate the thought to try to find a comparison, but I'm not sure it really works for me.
It's just the difference. The main difference is about the refs and delays and the kinds of things that just seem to come new to football every year. And I think just, here we go, gradually make it less exciting, he said, as he makes plans to watch every game in the league, actually.
On every streaming service.
On every service.
That you're going to put games on and make me buy.
Thursday kickoff with Al to Monday the Gun with Joe Buck. I'm there for all of it. And so what right do I have? Arnold is next. Hello.
Hey, how are you guys? Yeah, I would just say I'm sort of decidedly behind Bulldog. I think you should not be able to assist a runner through pushing
The reasons for primarily is it's just not an interesting play. I like fourth and one. I like to see the strategy and the type of play they're going to come up, run or pass. So it's just not interesting to me. And two, it sort of deadens third and two because now all of a sudden the Eagles are going to run because they know they're going to get it on fourth and one. In regards to the arguments against it, I'm not really struggling whether there's logic behind my decision because most rules in sports don't have logic behind it. I don't know in baseball. I know why they could make it 100 feet to first base or 200 feet to first base, but it wouldn't be interesting. They could allow holding in football. That's a rule that an interference is a rule. There's no logic behind it other than it makes the game better. And for those who state, oh, stop arguing against banning the push, defenses just get better. It's a ridiculous statement because my response to it would be, okay, then let's get rid of holding on defense and offense because receivers should be able to get away from people holding them and defenders should be able to get away from people who are holding them. That's an ambiguous no reason for those rules. So it's the same thing. The rule should be put in place because it's a detriment to the game and from watching the game, simply for that reason. Thanks a lot, guys. Enjoy the show.
Thank you.
You're reminding me of a conversation I had with a friend of mine a long time ago. I do think I brought this up. I don't know. It only was one time in passing, so I doubt you remember it. But I was watching football one time with my friend Jarvis, and he said they should just get rid of all those sorts of rules. Holding, interference, anything goes. Best man wins. If I'm a receiver and I can pull you down before you pull me down, I win. I'm going to go catch the ball, and like that's the end of that.
Yeah.
Right? You're rushing me. I'm protecting my quarterback, and if I can trip you or I can grab you and pull you down, I won. If you get me first, then you win, and you get the quarterback and all the glory. Like, we don't need the rules. Like, there's too many of them anyway, and I had to sit with that for a bit and think, like, what would that really look like? It would be mayhem, but – you know, there's something about it that appeals to me.
Yeah, I like that too. And I like the caller's basis that there's no logic, and that's logical. His anti-logic take is logical. Like it or not. You did a lot of hockey yesterday?
Yeah, mostly. Yeah.
Leafs.
Yeah, Marner specifically, you know. And, you know, whether I opened up talking really about whether them need, you know, being at this point again where they've hit their head on a very familiar ceiling tells you anything, informs at you at all about how we feel about the Bills and where they're at. Because it's not as long and it's different because, you know, there's a core group there and I didn't really think about who the core group of the Bills is, and I ended up on it's Deion Dawkins and Josh Allen. Like, everybody else has changed mostly, right? Receivers have come and gone and different linemen and whatever. But, like, that's your core, Josh Allen and Deion Dawkins. But, like, when do you – you know, how long can you preach patience? Because mostly from the distance that I'm at with the Leafs, not being emotionally tied to them, most years they crap out when they do, and – I go, just stay with it. You're good. It's hockey and bounces and whatever, but it's so long now, and those two home games were just so similar that it looks like a failed construct at this point that I think needs to be addressed. And, you know, will be conveniently because of contracts. Like, you know, Marner's up,
agency.
Tavares is up, so like some decisions may be made for them. To change out that core anyway.
He sounded today like he's gone.
Oh, yeah. Past tense. Everything about it. I've loved, you know, every minute of playing here and that sort of stuff. And so, yeah, I think he's got to go. Tavares was the opposite. Said, like, he even was encouraged by talking to the GM and coach on his way out that maybe they can keep him around. But, yeah, Marner, to me, is walking.
One thing I think that might be a fair connection between the Leafs and the Bills is the teams that have beaten Toronto have been great and have had great Hall of Fame bound players. It's the Boston teams with Bergeron. It's the and Marchand. I mean, they'll both go to the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
The Panthers with Marchand, who just was amazing in the second period. That's what I watched most of that game on Sunday. it's the Lightning teams with Hedman and Stamkos and, you know, all their guys in Florida now. They all, is there anybody else? Like, they all look like great teams. You know, they've been, it's the Sabres of the 80s almost too, but just not as, not the same kind of scale, but always losing to Boston and Montreal with, you know, Hall of Fame players. And like the Sabres were usually good, and most of those years they were good, but they weren't better than those teams. They needed to be born in the Midwest. That would have helped the Sabres. That wouldn't be great for us because we wouldn't care about them. If they were born in St. Louis or something, they might have a better track record. So, yeah, it's all being said about the Leafs. It's more amazing to me than anything else. The fact that the game was so one-sided just was like, guys, somebody – I'm with my brother-in-law from Toronto for the game, just like, one of your guys has to do something right now.
Right.
And just never came.
You should
and that's happened before.
You should never be trying to get through the first 10 minutes of the first period of a Game 7 when you're at home. And that's what that looked like. The Leafs were the ones. Like, how many times have you seen it written and heard it said on games? Like, the road team just wants to get through the first 10 minutes. That was the Leafs. And they're the home team, and that was weird. Seeing them booed, saluting the crowd, was also a spectacle I've never really experienced.
Wow.
I mean, just really, really, really tough.
I'm not sure we're that bad. Just like throwing jerseys and everything like that. I mean, we've gotten pretty frustrated, to say the least, with the Sabres, but we're not that bad. Again, it's just on a bigger scale, I think, is maybe part of it. The idea of the Sabres getting Mitch Marner to me is hilarious. And not... Maybe it's the same point. Here's a guy that's, what is he, top 25 forward in the league? Is that conservative? I mean, top 25?
He's a 100-point scorer.
This year he was.
So, yeah, I mean, he's at least that. Maybe it's conservative, but he's a great player. He's a superstar player, I think.
He's a, you know, a first-line player on almost any team, and superstar. Let's settle for that. What's the issue with him? The issue is, like with Matthews and Nylander, like, it's, can you win in the playoffs? That's the bottom line with the Leafs. That's the whole thing. They're good every year, and then they lose. Two great teams, but they lose. And so, what would your thought be if you were he? I need to disprove that. I'm making money. I'm really good. I'm a star. You know, it's all there. The only thing left for me to do is find myself on a winning team. You know, you'd think the player himself would trust himself to be capable of that. It's just a matter of, I'm looking at houses in the Midwest. I'm looking at houses where, you know, I don't have Boston and Tampa and Florida. Maybe that's, you know, a little bit the easy route, but maybe he deserves it, a guy like this.
Yeah.
And it would never be Buffalo.
Or maybe he's looking for houses in Boston, Tampa, or Florida.
Okay.
Right. We go join, can't beat him, join him, sort of thing.
The Buffalo Sabres are the definition of a franchise you would not sign with. If that is your that's Tavares too, almost. His career is longer, but where's the win? And so I'm never going to a team where it has clearly demonstrated its interest in stopping short in so many different ways for so many years. They would just not even be a consideration for me. Is it still palm trees and other things? We're talking about players of this caliber. It doesn't even get off the ground in my mind. I could see that they want him. What's that worth? Maybe it happens. I don't know the guy.
Right.
But the Sabres are just like the definition of a franchise. A great player that has this one void would never even think about.
Yeah. I contributed to it. Paul and I got into it pretty hot. Well, I don't know, hotly, whatever. I mean, we weren't yelling at each other, but like, he hates the idea. Just in print, you know, if he wanted to come here, Paul's a no. Which I think is kind of patently absurd, because I think he's a great player, and sure, I would I rather have some beard growing cross check you in the face guy who can score me 50 or 60 points, maybe, but if Mitch Marner wanted to come here, I'm making all the room in the world. I'm not worried about his clutch performance in the playoffs. Lots of guys leave places where they can't do it and go somewhere else. We've had guys leave here who we thought were like failed here, and then they go and win every which way. So I don't need to worry about his reputation or his makeup. I think it is one of these things that will probably be talked about maybe in the entire time that we have been together, the most disproportionately from a chances it happens standpoint versus like the amount of time we spend talking about it. Simply because we're going to have 6 weeks and it's an idea. And, you know, unless he says, I don't want to come there or something publicly for some reason, the possibility, the 1% chance that he loves Josh Allen and the Bills so much, or it's closer to home than anywhere else in the league besides Toronto, would draw him here. I just think the idea of Sabres fans going, oh, we score enough. We're fine. We need a goalie. We need a mean defenseman. You don't have a 100-point guy on your team right now.
Let me see how much vacation time I have
like,
left.
Go, you, if he just, wants to come here,
of course.
You do whatever you need to do to make that happen.
Pretty like, much, of course.
You got to be crazy, I think, to think. I shouldn't say crazy. I mean, Paul hates the idea. I don't think Paul's crazy.
But he, what are his reasons? Doesn't play defense? He's gotten Selke votes six times. Like, where's the proof of that?
Yeah, he killed penalties for the Four Nations, for Team Canada. I mean, he's a good all-around hockey, a great all-around hockey player. So, I don't think it has a chance in hell either. But I like the conversation around it. Like, theoretically, would you want this player on your team? And, like, I'm a hard, absolutely, what's wrong with you?
Well, he's the closest maybe example to like what the best player in the league. He's not the best player in the league. He might be the closest to that of anybody we've had all these years to talk about for July 1. And it's also maybe as far away from the Sabres being like sort of a cool idea from the player standpoint than ever.
Right. That's what I mean about player. How disproportionate that
is. I mean, I can't listen to anybody who doesn't think he's good.
Right.
But just why would he come here? Why? There's 32. They keep adding teams. I don't know why he would do it. Warren Sharp coming up at 4. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.